everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown. This is episode 81. How can I be okay even when I'm not okay? Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the podcast where we don't just grow. We learn to hold the parts of us that are still healing, still tender, still unsure of the next step. This one's for the version of you that's been trying your best, but still feels a little off. The part of you that can't explain exactly what's wrong, but knows something is shifting beneath the surface. Maybe it's not a breakdown, but a breakthrough that hasn't fully arrived yet. Maybe the silence, the pause, the discomfort isn't a sign you're stuck, but a sign you're becoming someone new. Because the truth is, there are seasons where things don't make sense, where nothing's wrong, but nothing feels right either. You're not spiraling, but you're not soaring. You're not falling apart, but you're not quite put together. And that space, the in-between, the not okay space, used to terrify me. I thought it meant that I was regressing, that I had lost my clarity, that I needed to fix something fast so I could feel myself again. But over time, I've started to understand. Being okay isn't about feeling amazing all the time. It's not about forcing positivity or pretending I'm healed. It's about knowing how to stay rooted even when the ground beneath me is shifting. It's about breathing into the chaos without letting it define who I am. It's about holding space for sadness, confusion, numbness, without turning those feelings into my identity. And the deeper I've leaned into that practice, the more I've realized something liberating. I can be okay even when I don't feel okay. I can be safe inside my body even when life feels uncertain. I can be present with what's real without rushing to escape it. That truth has quietly shaped everything for me this past year. Because if I'm honest, detachment has been the silent undercurrent in relationships and plans that didn't unfold how I expected, in the slow surrender of timelines I once clung to. But what made that kind of letting go possible wasn't some spiritual bypass. It was knowing that I could sit with the unknown and still trust myself through it. That's why I'm dedicating the next couple episodes to unpacking the many layers of detachment, not from a cold or distant place, but from a kind of grounded presence that no longer needs to grasp or force or chase. And if you're starting to navigate this work, or you're feeling unsure about where you can even go, or you're feeling unsure about where you're even at on this path, you can download my Start With Why Clarity Guide, free on the website. It's a beautiful place to return to yourself when everything feels like it's too much. But right now, if you're ready, let's talk about what it really means to be okay even when you're not okay. Somewhere along the way, many of us learn to equate okay with control. If our lives were in order, our emotions in check, our plans on track, then we could say we were okay. If we were smiling, productive, aligned, healing, glowing, then we could claim peace. But anything less than that, that meant something was wrong. That meant we were off, behind, or broken. It's wild how much pressure we put on ourselves just to feel okay. Even our healing starts to become performance-based. We start measuring our growth by how quickly we bounce back, how emotionally stable we seem, how often we can access clarity or gratitude or peace. But what if okay isn't about being perfect? What if it's not a fixed destination, but a willingness to be ourselves exactly as we are? I don't think we talk about that enough. How sometimes being okay looks like crying on the floor and still choosing to get up the next day. How it looks like texting someone back even though you're scared of connection. How it looks like breathing through the silence between your questions and the answers. I've had seasons this past year where nothing felt settled. There were moments I didn't feel happy or aligned or clear about what was next. But deep down, I still felt okay, not because I knew how it would all work out, but because I was no longer making my emotions proof that I was failing. And that changed everything. I used to think emotional regulation meant always being calm, but now I understand it's staying present, staying in the body, staying with myself. I stopped needing to label every dip as a regression. I stopped turning discomfort into a crisis. I started honoring my sadness as a teacher, not an enemy to run from, but a visitor with something to show me. There's a certain kind of sacredness that arrives when you let yourself be in the mess without trying to fix it right away. And in that shift, I found something I hadn't expected, a deeper kind of okayness, one that wasn't fragile or circumstantial, but quiet and steady and rooted in presence. Being okay even when I wasn't okay meant that I could let my body feel sad without rushing to fix it, that I could feel disconnected without spiraling into shame, that I could sit in uncertainty without trying to force clarity. And I want to say this clearly, because I think someone needs to hear it. You are still okay. Even when your mind feels loud, even when your heart feels heavy, even when your path feels unclear, your okayness is not something you earn by being positive. It's something you return to by choosing presence over panic, compassion over critique, and breath over performance. This shift, this redefinition of what okay even means, is what's made it possible for me to detach. Not by disconnecting, but by softening my grip. By no longer needing everything to be perfect in order to feel safe. I realized I don't need life to be in bloom all the time. Sometimes I'm in winter. Sometimes things fall apart. And I've learned to be okay there too. Because you don't have to feel amazing to be anchored in your truth. You just have to stop abandoning yourself every time the weather changes. And that's where we begin. Here's something I've learned the hard way. The mind can definitely lie, but the body usually doesn't. There have been so many moments this year where my thoughts were spinning stories, telling me I was behind, telling me I'd messed up, telling me I should be further along. And yet, when I slowed down enough to check in with my body, I realized I was safe. My chest wasn't tight, my breath wasn't shallow, my shoulders weren't clenched. There was no sense of urgency, just noise. That's when I started to understand the difference between what's real and what's rehearsed. Because most of us are walking around reacting to patterns we haven't even questioned. We think we're not okay when really we're just unfamiliar with peace. We're so used to being in survival mode that stillness feels suspicious. Rest feels lazy. Calm feels like a setup. And so we chase stimulation, stress, and struggle. Not because they feel good, but because they feel familiar. It's like the nervous system is finally regulated, but the mind is still running off old software, old loops, old defense mechanisms that once protected us, but now just keep us from receiving the ease that's already here. And I want to be real. This isn't about gaslighting yourself into ignoring real problems. There are times when we're not okay, when our nervous system is genuinely dysregulated, when the pain in our body is a signal, not a story. But what I'm talking about here is the moments when the crisis is coming from the narrative, not the present moment. When we're telling ourselves we should be panicking, when nothing in the body is actually asking for that. We do this all the time. We create internal chaos just to match the belief that chaos is normal. But what happens when you stop performing that belief? What happens when you let your nervous system lead instead of the story your mind keeps looping? That's what helped me through some of the hardest moments. Not affirmations, not bypassing, not pretending to be positive, but simply pausing long enough to notice that beneath the noise, I was okay. I was held, I was breathing, I was alive, and I didn't need to chase the next solution just to prove my worth. That's what emotional safety is, not the absence of pain, but the presence of self-connection. It's being able to sit with what's real without collapsing into it. It's feeling your feelings without becoming your feelings. And when you build that kind of relationship with yourself, it becomes harder to believe every thought that comes through. You start to develop this quiet discernment, this softness that doesn't need to argue or prove or fix. That's where detachment starts to take root, not as a reaction, but as a response. Not as avoidance, but as alignment. You stop gripping so tightly to the story that things should be different. Because in stillness, you remember you are still whole, even in your most undone moments. We live in a world that rewards fixing, that tells us discomfort is a problem to solve, an inconvenience to medicate, a weakness to outgrow. We learn early that sadness is something to cheer up from, that anger needs to be managed, that fear should be silenced. So when emotions rise, especially the big tender ones, our first instinct isn't to be with them. It's to change them, to hack our way into better moods, to force clarity, to bypass the fog. And I get it. I've been there. I know what it's like to wake up heavy and think, okay, what do I need to do to get out of this feeling? But here's the truth that's changed everything for me. You don't have to fix what you're feeling in order to be okay. You can hold space for discomfort without turning it into a project. You can feel uncertain without trying to control the outcome. You can be sad and still be safe. That's not failure, that's emotional maturity. Because presence isn't passive, it's actually the most powerful thing you can offer yourself. It says, I'm willing to sit in the fire with myself. I'm willing to feel this, not forever, but fully. I trust that I don't need to be rescued from this moment. When I look back at the biggest turning points in my life, they weren't the ones where I finally figured it out. There were moments where I chose to stay present with what I didn't yet understand. There was no timeline, no big revelation, just me, breathing through the unknown, sitting with the unknown, letting the wave pass without needing to make it stop, letting the emotion speak without trying to edit the message, letting myself be soft, uncertain, raw, without spiraling into shame. And I think that's what we're really afraid of when we say we're not okay. It's not the feeling itself. It's what we believe that feeling means about us. We think if we're sad, we're weak. If we're lost, we've failed. If we're unsure, we're falling behind. But what if the truth is the opposite? What if the fact that you're feeling so deeply is the proof that you're awake, that you're alive, that something inside you is honest enough to refuse the numbing? That's not a flaw, that's a signal. And the more we allow ourselves to sit in that space, to stop rushing to fix it, the more we start to experience something deeper than relief, we begin to experience trust. Trust that the emotion will pass. Trust that we don't have to fight our way into peace. Trust that we can be with what is, without abandoning ourselves in the process. Because maybe the goal was never to feel better as fast as possible. Maybe the goal was to feel deeper, to live more honestly, to be in a relationship with life, even when it's messy. That, to me, is what being okay really means now. Not that I never get overwhelmed, but that I no longer run from it. Not that I always have clarity, but that I no longer make confusion the enemy. I've learned to breathe through the parts of life that don't make sense. To sit inside the fog with my palms open. To trust that clarity will come, and that I don't have to force it. And in that trust, I found a softness that no breakthrough ever gave me. I remember there was a time when everything I thought I understood about life stopped making sense. The rules I lived by, what success looked like, how hard I had to push, what it meant to be seen, loved, chosen, they all collapsed. It didn't happen overnight, but it felt like one day I looked around and realized nothing was working. Not the plans, not the path, not the person I had been trying so hard to become. And the scariest part wasn't that everything was broken. It was that I didn't know what to do without the grind. The silence felt loud. The stillness felt like failure. I wasn't moving forward, and I didn't know how to sit with that. It was during that season when I felt the most alone and uncertain that I stumbled across a book that changed everything. Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. And what hit me wasn't just the message, it was the timing. I wasn't in the middle of building momentum. I was stuck, disconnected, afraid that I had lost the thread completely. But the more I read, the more I realized maybe I hadn't fallen off track. Maybe the track itself was never mine to begin with. There's a story in the book about during the Cuban Missile Crisis. At the height of the tension, when the world was on the brink of nuclear war, his advisors were begging him to act, to strike first, to move fast, to do something. But JFK didn't rush. He didn't give noise or urgency. He slowed everything down. He took walks. He sat in silence. He questioned the need to react at all. And in that stillness, that refusal to be hijacked by fear, ultimately prevented catastrophe. That story gripped my heart because at the time in my own life, I was drowning in urgency, the need to fix everything, to speed past the discomfort, to find a new identity that would make the pain make sense. But reading that book in that moment when I had no clear direction and no momentum showed me something else. That maybe stillness isn't what you fall into when you failed. Maybe it's the place you begin. When you're finally ready to rebuild from truth instead of performance. That season taught me how to sit in the not knowing, without making it mean I was broken. It taught me to stop looking for proof that I was okay and start creating peace from the inside out. And that's why this current season feels so different. because even though I'm still navigating the unknown, even though the plans have shifted and clarity hasn't fully landed, I'm not panicking. I'm not forcing things into place. I've learned to let life breathe. I've learned to trust what's forming beneath the surface even when I can't see it. Because stillness, I've found, is not the absence of movement. It's the presence of trust. It's knowing that you don't have to sprint to stay aligned. You don't have to perform to prove your worth, and you don't have to rush to validate your existence. Sometimes, the most powerful thing you can do is wait, breathe, and listen. Let the old version of you fall away and give the new one time to root. JFK didn't rush to respond. He slowed down to think, to feel, to choose clarity over chaos, and in that choice, the choice to pause, saved everything. And maybe your own pause will too. You know, sometimes what surprises me the most about growth isn't how much we've changed, but how much we learn to hold, to not fix, to not resolve, just hold. Because no one really teaches us how to be in the middle. We're taught to strive for clarity, to land in one emotional camp or the other. We want to know, am I healed or am I hurting? Am I grounded or am I lost? Am I okay or am I not? But the truth is, life rarely answers in absolutes, and neither does the heart. What I've learned, especially in those quiet, recalibrating seasons, is that it's entirely possible to be grateful and grieving at the same time, to be grounded and still aching, to be hopeful about the future while still tending to the wounds from the past. It's not a contradiction, it's capacity. I've had days where I genuinely felt proud of who I was becoming, and in the same breath, felt the sting of everything I had to let go of in order to become him. I've laughed from my belly while still carrying a silent heaviness in my chest. And for a long time, I made those moments mean something was wrong with me. Like if I were truly healed, I wouldn't feel both. If I were aligned, I wouldn't ache. But healing isn't about arriving in one emotion and staying there. It's about making room for all of it. And what a beautiful, wild thing that is. To let sadness and joy sit at the same table. To let hope and heartbreak hold hands. To feel peace because you're no longer resisting the tension between them. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's not some spiritual bypass where you pretend everything's fine. It's choosing to stay present inside your own paradox without shrinking or splitting off. And the more I live in that space, the more I realize that wholeness was never about becoming one thing. It's about becoming real. Not perfect, just honest, available, soft enough to feel, strong enough to stay. So if your heart feels like contradiction right now, if one part of you is blooming while another is breaking, you're not alone, you're not broken, you're just becoming someone with enough capacity to hold both. And that is the beginning of real liberation. I feel like every episode we end up talking about grief, and I think that's really good because I don't think we talk about it enough. Because I think the growth to healing is always sunshine and rainbows, but the darker side of it often gets ignored. So when you get on the path and things don't go as planned, sometimes we freeze and sometimes we get scared because we didn't realize the grief that was going to come with it. There's a big grief that comes from letting go of the life you thought you'd have. Not because it was guaranteed, but because it was familiar, safe, something you built your identity around, even if it never really fit. And what no one tells you is that letting go of what could have been can be just as painful as letting go of something you actually lost. Because the version of life you imagined, it had meaning. It held hopes, your milestones, your sense of certainty. Maybe it was a job you thought would make you whole. The relationship you planned your future around. The timeline you were supposed to be on by now. And when it doesn't unfold that way, when reality starts to diverge from the vision you clung to, you don't just lose the plan. You lose a part of who you thought you were. I've had to walk away from so many versions of my own life that once felt like destiny. And for a while, I fought it. Tried to make it work. Tried to resurrect the vision that kept slipping through my fingers. But the truth is, sometimes what we call faith is just fear in disguise. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being wrong. Fear of what it means if we don't end up where we thought we would. It wasn't until I started releasing the grip on the life I imagined that I could finally start receiving the life that was meant for me. And here's the part that still humbles me. The life that was waiting for me. It didn't come with a grand entrance. It whispered. It came quietly. through detours that didn't make sense at the time, through jobs I didn't think were aligned, through connections I almost overlooked, through doors I only found because the ones I wanted had closed. It didn't look like what I prayed for, but it felt like peace. And that's how I knew. That's how I still know. Because there comes a point where the real version of your life, the one that's for you, stops needing to be earned or chased. It just fits. And when it arrives, it won't need to prove itself. It'll feel like an exhale of breath. It'll feel like alignment, like something in your spirit finally saying, oh, this. But to get there, you have to be brave enough to grieve the life you built on survival, ego, or external validation. You have to unclench your hands long enough to realize they were never empty, just waiting for the right thing to arrive. So if it feels like everything you thought you wanted is slipping away, maybe it's not failure. Maybe it's freedom. Because what's meant for you won't arrive in the image of your past. It'll meet you in your becoming. It'll recognize who you are now, and it'll ask you to rise, not to what you planned, but to what you were always meant to receive. The truth is, you don't always have to feel okay to be at peace. You don't need to have all the answers to trust the unfolding, and you don't have to cling to what was to prove you're worthy of what's next. This season, whatever it holds, whether you feel aligned or undone, certain or lost, is not a mistake. It's part of the soft alchemy that happens when we surrender our grip on the way it was supposed to go and start living the question of who we're here to become. Not as an endpoint, but as a way to get back to presence. You're not behind. You're not broken, and you're not waiting for life to begin. You're in it. Right here, right now, and in this moment, right now, the air in your lungs is sacred. Let it carry you forward. Before we get out of here this week, I want to leave you with a journal prompt and some affirmations. Where in my life am I still holding onto an outdated vision? And what might open up if I allowed space for something better than I imagined? I trust the unfolding of my path. I honor what no longer fits, and I am open to receiving a life that meets me where I truly am. Until next week, I'm Nicholas, and this is Metanoia Madness, signing off.